I can't hear you, but I'm picking up something. I'm going to have a hell of a time editing this, because I've been recording this whole time. Oh my god. Hello. Dear listeners, this is going really well.
Aaron's catchphrase.
Amanda's not even facing the microphones. Tammy's painting her nails. Talia's joined us. We have a guest.
Oh, hey.
Welcome, Talia.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yes. Yes. So excited.
I guess we could.
Okay. Listen, my whole goal here today is to set myself up for repeat spots until I'm your every time guest.
Oh,
and
yes.
I've moved into your houses and your lives, and you've never remembered a time when I wasn't there.
You have exactly one rotation until Tammy's like, I didn't do the research, but I feel as though Talia is ready.
I am always ready.
So,
listen.
That's where we are.
Born ready.
This is my moment.
I think Amanda's given up on me painting her nails.
No.
She turned her back
She's
on you.
She turned her entire back on me.
Not only has she turned her back on you, she has turned her back on the microphone.
All so of our podcasts, our entire podcast.
Still hear me.
Weirdly, her levels are fine, though.
They look great.
Okay, I'm here.
Normally when I edit this, I try to do like 30-ish seconds of nonsense before we get started.
And I think you gotta keep all this in. This
what
is
are,
quality.
I mean, we're at like 3 minutes. It's not cute. Okay. Should we start?
Yeah, let's do
I'm
it.
I'm here start. For it. I thought you were gonna reach for the nail polish.
Let me just get my nail polish.
It's important to stay hydrated.
I'd like you to know Jody has already turned this episode off. He's not having it.
I mean, we watched all of that testimony for Jody.
We did, Jody. We're big fans.
The least you can do is stay tuned in.
I didn't, Jody. I was at work.
I was also at work.
You watched it in spirit.
So, when I was doing the research for this, I knew it was only a matter of time as we moved alphabetically through the alphabet that we would reach the state where we live. And that's today.
You've got Texas.
So I'd like to welcome you all to Texas. It's probably the first time you've been here. We're known for our great weather, significant seasons. Things are going really well.
Stronger. Things are going great here.
Things
right
are going
now.
Great. Yeah,
the catchphrase, it ain't bragging if it's true, which is somehow one of the official-ish mottos of Texas.
Or drive friendly the Texas way.
Right, as if you've ever met a friendly Texas
Have you
driver.
Ever met a friendly driver?
Not even.
Have you been to Houston?
I can't
Never.
Go. My hair looks bad.
That's fair.
That's
fair.
But I also kind of had this thought that, like, I was a little uncomfortable doing this research because I knew, like, the urban legends were closer to home. And I'm like,
yes.
It'd be a little harder to sleep at night.
I literally... noticed that you don't have notes in your hand. Are you just going to, like, go ahead and free
Yeah, she's running a paperless enterprise.
I'm just making...
She cares about the environment.
Oh.
They're on the computer.
I literally had that exact same thought.
Mostly because I forgot to print it.
About to start.
Printing is a hustle, honestly. I had to go to a FedEx Kinko's, which I don't even think that's what they're called anymore, before I came here.
Because no millennials print. Have printers.
I do not. I have a printer. It doesn't have any
ink.
That's the one.
Yeah, ink.
I just got a preview of Talia's addition to this episode, and I don't want to hear it.
I promise you that you don't.
FedExKinko.com. Well, I thought that, you know, since if we're going to thoroughly freak ourselves out, let's start as close to home as possible.
As close to my home as possible.
Oh, good. Are we talking about the lake? Yeah.
Were you reading over my shoulder?
She always
it's
does.
But it's the only thing. You must be talking about the lake.
I'm talking about the lake.
Yay!
I'm talking about the Lady of the Lake. And so this is the Dallas version of the Lady of the Lake, because many cities obviously have a Lady of the Lake story. And so this legend has been passed down for decades. If you drive around White Rock Lake, you may see it for yourself. A young woman in a drenched evening dress that flags down your car and explains she's just been in a boating accident. Amanda, has this happened to you? Amanda lives
no,
really
Amanda's
close to the lake.
No, already breathing hard.
But I can tell you just real fast.
Go for it.
That when you used to live over there, every time I would drive past the lake, I'd be like, no, not today, not today, not today. And
Did you ever see a hitchhiker?
No, I didn't.
But she had protected herself psychically.
I'm gonna need some more red water for Texas this episode.
That's just the sound of the creek outside the house.
It's the lady of the lake.
That's
it's
the lady of the lake.
It's ambient noises.
Okay, so the lady of the lake is seen in a drenched evening dress. She flags down your car. She explains she's been in a boating accident and then asks for a ride home or for a ride to a home on Gaston Avenue and gets in the back seat.
No.
Nope.
Then, just as mysteriously as she appears, she vanishes. So this is the main...
She messes up my upholstery in the process.
That's exactly right.
She does that.
So this is like the main concise version of the story behind Lady of the Lake, and it's been creepy enough, or it is a creepy enough story that it's gotten some national attention.
Oh.
So Reader's Digest recently released a list of the 14 most haunted bodies of water in the world.
No.
You want to take some guesses?
That's not what it's called. The 14 most haunted bodies of water?
Please tell me that Georgia Lake is on it at least.
I mean, it's hyperlinked, but I'm not going to click it because I'll probably get lost.
Oh my god.
But on this list, right above Loch Ness.
No.
Right above Loch Ness.
Above?
Loch Ness?
As in more haunted?
I don't know. It just says that in the notes.
You did the research.
I copied it from a web source that I didn't cite properly.
Okay, but is it that haunted? Because I can't live there for another year.
Girl, it's haunted AF.
I don't live there. I'm just kidding.
I already have a headache from editing this. I just need y'all to understand.
I think we're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing our best work. Okay, so this list actually gives no explanation behind how the locations were chosen. They're just on a list. Because, you know, if you Google, that means that you do research.
Yes.
I've heard that it's off of YouTube. Is that not how that is? I click a Facebook link and go to some man screaming on a YouTube channel. Yes.
That's exactly right.
Okay, great.
Okay, so let's go. How it started. A woman named Anne Clark wrote the account of the Lady of the Lake legend, which was published in 1943, called The Ghost of White Rock, and it was included in Texas Folklore Society's publication Backwoods to Border. This is the beauty of not reading your notes until 5 weeks after you wrote them, with no memory of them. This is all new to me, too. In this version, a young couple parked on the shore of White Rock Lake. When they switched their headlights on, they saw a woman in a white dress coming towards them. Mm-hmm. The young girl was dressed in a sheer, wet, white dress, and she spoke to them. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to intrude. I would not do so under any other circumstance, but I must find a way home immediately. My boat overturned. The others are safe. I must get home.
Hmm. Who's she fancy?
She's fancy.
Also, who is boating on White Rock Lake in any century?
This is the 40s.
It was still...
Don't they have sailboats out there?
Yeah, they have a boating club.
But you don't want to fall in the water, right?
Fancy. She climbed into the rumble seat, saying that she didn't... What's a rumble seat?
I feel like it's the middle
in
back.
The truck? No.
Yeah, I feel like that's
right. It's definitely got to be in the back seat.
Middle back, I feel like.
Middle back. I'm going with middle back.
Let's speculate. It's not, we're not all holding computers in our hands or anything.
We're not looking it up, certainly. Right. Okay, so she climbs into the rumble seat, says she does not wish to get the young lady wet, meaning like she's not going to climb in the front with the couple, and she gives them an address in Oak Cliff. When they ask her for directions, they turn around only to find that the rumble seat is empty and it's wet. The couple goes ahead and goes to the address where she told them to go.
Why?
Because it's an urban legend. And a sad man meets them at the door. Oh. And he says,
I don't like any part of this.
I think I've heard a more personal version of this. Go ahead.
The man says, this is a very strange thing. You are the third couple who has come to me with this story. 3 weeks ago, while sailing on White Rock Lake, my daughter drowned.
I think I know somebody that this has happened to, but I can't remember who now.
Okay, well, I want to hear that, because that's kind of how it started, and then I'm going to go where how it's going. But if you've got a personal
version... Well, I can't remember version. Who, and it's pretty much the same that you just said. There's not much to add, but you saying that made me, like, it just jogged my memory. I think I've heard this from, like, a personal account before. It could have been somebody just retelling the story, but...
At least she was nice enough not to touch them. If a ghost touches me, I'll die.
I'm not sure they can.
Climb on in, girl. Sit down. Don't touch me on your way. Yes, don't get me wet. Thank you so much. Mm-mm.
It is a noble food after all.
Well, I will say, when I started the research for this episode, I definitely wanted to do this just because it's, like, hyper, hyper local.
Yeah.
I used to live right over there by the lake. I've heard this story my whole life, but I didn't really know a whole lot about it. And it's not super easy to find much, because kind of you could look up 7 versions, and they all basically just say what I said to you. So that's the origin. And then here's kind of the history behind it. So in 1953, so this first version was in the 40s, now we're in the 50s. In 1953, a similar but more detailed version of the account of the Lady of the Lake legend was included in Dallas author Frank X. Tolbert's book, Neiman Marcus, Texas, The Story of the Proud Dallas Store. In this account, a beautiful blonde girl appears on the road near White Rock. Mr. and Mrs. Guy Malloy, who were directors of display for Neiman Marcus, spot her standing as though she's just walked up from the beach. P.S. I used to live there. There's no beach. Upon seeing the girl standing in the beams of the headlight, Mrs. Malloy says, "Stop, guy. That guy seems..." Guy is the husband's name, not stop, dude. "That guy seems stop in her. Trouble. She must have fallen in the lake. Her dress is wet. You can tell this is a very fine dress. She certainly got it at the store." The store, meaning, of course, Neiman Marcus. Mm-hmm. The friendly girl asked them to take her to an address on Gaston Avenue. So this version is Gaston Avenue versus Oak Cliff. Which, for those listening who are not local, is a different area of Dallas.
Much and this closer. Is
closer it's to closer White Rock. To White Rock, significantly closer in nearby Lakewood. She didn't offer an explanation for her state, and the Malloys were too polite to ask. Her long hair began to dry in the night breeze. Mrs. Malloy was now sure that the girl's dress was from Neiman Marcus. The girl got in the back seat. When the car started, Mrs. Malloy turned to discover the girl had vanished. The only trace of her was a damp spot on the back seat. Puzzled, the Malloys went to the address she provided them. A middle-aged man met them at the door. He informed them that his blonde daughter, who wore nothing but Neiman Marcus clothes, drowned 2 years beforehand when she fell off a pier at White Rock Lake. Yeehaw. So this is now, you know, kind of a 10-year difference. A WFAA, which, again, for those listening, is our local, what is that, ABC?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, ABC.
ABC station here in Dallas, Texas. So a WFAA story in 2012, we're much more current now, passed along the true-ish details of the story that the lady was potentially a distraught bride who had drowned in the lake. As the Lakewood Advocate magazine noted, other versions have been filtered down through the years, including one where the ghost knocks on doors near the lake. Last fall, so 2020, the Dallas Morning News posted the original 1964 version from its archives about the beautiful ghost of the lake who was reportedly wearing a dress from Neiman Marcus. So, I read a couple different versions of the story while I was doing the research, and there aren't a whole lot more details than what I've shared with you. The basic story is, of course, a couple spots the young woman who asks for a ride home, but then she vanishes. When they arrive at the home, the homeowners recognize the tale and identify that it's their daughter or their sister or their friend or a young woman that they know who died at White Rock Lake. Some of the details vary. Sometimes the home's in Oak Cliff. Other times it's in Gaston Avenue, which is an old street in the middle of East Dallas that used to hold stately homes before the war turned them into multifamily housing. Sometimes the young girl had just died. Other times she had passed years prior. But my favorite part is the detail of including the focus on the Neiman Marcus clothing. So for those who
actually heard that part before.
Well, I hadn't until I started doing this research, and yeah. I've kind of heard this story like off and on through my life.
That's not a stunt.
For those who are unfamiliar, Neiman's originated in Dallas and the flagship store is in our downtown area. And this story sounds a little bit to me like clever marketing. Mm-hmm. In fact, if it's true, I'm a little jealous because it sort of sounds like something I might do, which is start a full-on whisper campaign with a ghost story attached for some serious marketing potential. So that takes us to the end of the Lady of the Lake. Now, I have
a question.
Have a question.
I want all the questions.
Was this the most prevalent, like, what was it one of the most?
It was the first one that popped up, but there was very little. Well, no. The number one story is the one that Talia's going to tell you at the bottom of this episode. But this was one that surfaced pretty regularly.
It's one of the most popular in Texas. I was just curious if you just leaned towards it because it's Dallas or if it was that popular. Interesting.
Here's my question. Why are we driving to the house once the ghost has disappeared from the backseat?
Why are you picking up a hitchhiker?
Well, yes. So assuming you do pick also up a hitchhiker, which you should not do, a wet hitchhiker.
A soaking wet hitchhiker.
Why do you like, oh, she vanished. That's weird.
I should keep going.
Let's go on to this little house that she gave us the address of. That sounds like it's not my business. And also, like, how annoying for the parents at the house to be like, oh, it's just my daughter again, like, waking me up at 2 a.m.
Oh, I hate how she kept me up at all hours when she was alive, and now she's keeping me up at all hours now that she's dead.
Right.
That's not funny at all.
When does it end?
Forever. That's very sad.
It's really tragic. It's not funny, Aaron. It's not funny.
Anyway.
So there were lots and lots of options for Texas, and I did lots of research. And I'm actually going to skip one that I did full research on because I'm concerned that this episode will run way too long. I don't mind a long episode.
I don't think there's any problem with it being long, honestly.
Well.
More to love.
Well, this next one that I'm going to tell you is quite long.
Great.
And then I know you did some pretty extensive research on your edition, too. So I'm going to skip the third one, or the second of the three that I had prepped. And I'll tell you offline because you'll enjoy it, but it's not.
You can save it for a later episode.
I could hypothetically. Okay, so this next story is here for Tammy.
Oh, great.
And any other listeners who may have once attended Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas.
Oh, it's fine. I thought you were going to tell me something about where I live now.
Nope,
so I'm good
not where you live. It's so Tammy and
in fact,
I.
My dorm room was known for being haunted there.
Oh, so. Yeah, no, weird. This is about your dorm room.
Oh, it's not. Tell me the story.
It's not. I don't remember what dorm you lived in. But Tammy and I went to college together for a short time, and we were at Sam Houston State. So there is one of the most prevalent Texas ghost stories or like urban legends is from Huntsville. So do you have any idea what it might be?
Well, if it's not my dorm room, then maybe.
It's not, weirdly. It's
is
not,
it shenanigans? Is it the dancing ghost of shenanigans?
The single bar I've ever been kicked out of, and it was Tammy's fault. No.
Okay. Wow. All right.
That's an offline. That is an offline conversation.
Being very tantalizing for all your listeners. Okay. We get to know and you don't, but hit up the Patreon. Maybe you can find out.
Yes, why is she not on every episode?
I know. Well, she will be. She will be moving forward. This is the story of Demon's Road in Huntsville.
Oh, my God.
Oh, where in Huntsville is that?
It's right outside the city.
Next to the prison?
No. It's on the other side.
Not the direction that you lived.
No, it's like more country.
Oh, good.
Like
nothing bad happens in the country.
The astronomy tower was.
I don't know where the astronomy tower is, but I know
That's when McGonagall got the stunners to the heart, the four stunners to the heart. Same time. That was the astronomy tower.
Where Dumbledore fell from.
I will tell you what the astronomy tower is best known for. If you have ever seen the movie Dazed and Confused.
Of course.
It is set in a fictional town, but is based on Huntsville. And that astronomy tower is the tower
that
they climb.
It's the moon tower.
Yes, it is.
Look at the blood
stains. Is it really?
Yes, it is.
That's funny.
How many beers have you had?
Back in the day.
Tell me about Demon Road.
When I first joined my sorority, we lived in fear of being dropped off at Demon Road without a ride back as part of a hazing ritual.
Boys and girls.
It's against the law. I'm happy to share nothing like that ever happened to me, but we were still a little bit intimidated and scared that it would. Now, I don't remember a whole lot personally about Demon Road, except that it felt like I knew a ton of people who swore up and down that they had seen glowing eyes out there.
Nope.
Now, I actually never went there. And after doing the research, even as much as I love ghosts and spooky stories, I would never go.
Mm. Sometimes it's not our
business. If you won't go...
That's right. You're not going, Amanda.
I think I might have been there.
I don't think you were there.
Okay, tell me more.
Okay. So located in Huntsville, Texas, this lonely, remote, and incredibly creepy road has the sort of reputation that Stephen King could base a novel on. It is an interweaving path of malformed trees, overgrown weeds, invading bush, and folktales that go back hundreds of years. Over time, the route's fame and credit for its after-dark activities have earned it the not-so-subtle nickname of Demon's Road. This road leads in a serpentine way to Old Martha's Chapel, which is possibly one of Texas's most haunted places.
If anybody ever named something Old My Name... I'm going to be so mad.
So you're fired.
Martha. How dare you? I would haunt you for that.
So you think you... Oh, no. She thinks she's been there.
Okay. I don't know for sure, but it sounds so familiar. And Ashley and Paula, when we went to Sam Houston, they took... I didn't actually take the astronomy class, but they both, like, had it... They ended up taking this class. And so I went with them a couple of times so that I could see the, like, stars, because I was like, well, this is very cool. But, in fact, I think... Maybe mom was with me one time. Like, maybe she came for, like, Parents Weekend or something, and we went there. Because I was like, well, we might as well go out here because you love stars, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
it seems right that you would have taken your mom to Demon Road.
Right? No. But it was so... This part was so creepy. It was so much darker than ever. I mean, obviously, you have to be in the
Huntsville's
dark to
pretty
see.
Dark, though. I mean, that's like out in the country.
But outside of, like, you know, I mean, like, when you're close to the campus, there's plenty of lights. But this was so much further away that it was very dark. And so this just sounds so familiar to me. And now I'm like, am I... connecting this in my head because it sounds... Because it was so creepy going out that direction, or have I actually been to this place?
Well, I will say that, like, Huntsville has its fair share of cemeteries and dark roads, so it's very likely you were not on Demon Road because it's, like, extra spooky, but seeing as I wasn't with you, I'm not going to say you weren't there. But, so Demon Road is not on any tourist map. Most people outside of the community don't even really know that it exists. It's not a place people like to go. Publicity has a habit of scaring off onlookers and the curious. It's not something that I think any professor would have sent you to look at stars.
No, I once got lost driving out this way because before I had realized that I didn't see that well in the dark. I was still driving around at night by myself. And I drove the wrong way one time and got like kind of got in this twisted up area, which is why I think I may have... Maybe I just got into a place that was really creepy for me at the moment. And so now it sounds familiar, but...
General Abilene got her.
I didn't. I would not have intentionally gone to this place, whatever it is. I already can tell you that I wouldn't have gone there.
No, I don't think you would have. Because even in the light of day, there's a reason to avoid Demon Road.
No.
I need to look at a map now. But it's not on a map?
It's not on a map.
Great.
Okay, let's start with the history. So there's not a whole lot to tell about Martha's Chapel and Demon's Road, which is formerly known as Bowden Road. Martha's Chapel is a small church district that's known as Robinson Settlement that lays 7 miles southwest of Huntsville. Its name was inspired by the first person that was buried in the new church's cemetery, which was Martha Palmer. Nonetheless, ever since horse-drawn wagons were traveling the stretch of land that glides into the cemetery at the end of the town, there have been tales of unpleasant meetings and spooky hair-raising encounters with creatures and beings of an otherworldly presence. The land has something to it, a curse or a nameless malediction, lost to time.
Come on, SAT word.
I mean, if I say it enough times, I might find one good copy I can keep. There is no doubt in the natives and town people's mind that something sinister and bloody occurred at some point in the region, something that soaked the bedrock with evil, polluting the soul of what would eventually become Martha's Chapel. Something so foul that it was stricken from Native American oral traditions, a taboo whose name, like that of other beings of its pantheon, could summon a greater evil. Ew. The land is corrupt and toxin, and it is lost to time.
Nope. Maybe I was just in proximity and it felt creepy.
I'm saying I feel like I would have known. So that's the history. It's a little shrouded in confusion, but it's definitely not positive. So we're going to run through some of the supernatural activity that's been noted at Demon Road.
Yikes.
We're going to start with the ghost writer. Imagine.
That's exactly what I thought.
Again, I'd like to share with you that I did this research approximately 5 weeks ago and have not read my notes since then. So
I feel like you'd remember Nicolas Cage, though.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage didn't show up in the research.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
So imagine a pint-sized Johnny Blaze from Marvel. Only instead of a Harley Hog, a Fisher-Prize tricycle.
Okay, right. So this is Nicolas Cage.
Toddler Cage.
Like the toddler cage. The Huntsville version.
So one of the earliest stories of ghosts roaming Demon Road concerns the tale of a young boy with gleaming eyes cycling a tricycle along the road of the cemetery. So this boy has been confronted many times, and it's stated that as you near him, he just disappears into a bank of fog that appears out of nowhere.
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other times, he'll slowly... Amanda, I'm sorry.
somebody hold Amanda's hand.
Other times, my nails are wet.
He will slowly stop his tricycle, turn back and stare at you with those glowing eyes, his gaze reaching into your soul and reading your sins.
Oh my god!
Why?
If you don't sit down and have a peanut butter sandwich, that is not your business.
Oh my god.
It is said if he finds you wanting, if he finds you've committed crimes that are too vile, so you're clear here, Amanda. You've never done a crime, Amanda.
Thank God. The boy
will later that very night sneak into your bedroom and suffocate you to death.
Where are your parents?
Jesus.
Some of this, I'm like, I feel like I don't even want to read this out loud. The toddler is said
to... I can never go back to Huntsville again.
No, I'm telling you, this place is pure evil.
Ew.
The toddler is said to roam the road on nights when the moon is old and almost non-existent, when the glare can't give away his presence. So, like, the serious waning moon before you go to a full... that's new moon, right?
Where it's completely covered.
Okay. So, this next one is Riding with the Devil.
I don't know if I want to hear anymore, Erin.
I know. Why did we wait till dark?
I know.
This is a daytime conversation.
You're right. There's something creepier about the fact that it's Texas.
It's our home state.
But like, I've heard that story before, and now this one is making me even more creeped out because we lived there. And I'm telling you, I was driving alone in the dark there, and it's freaking me out.
No, you wouldn't do it again. But it's far away. At least it's far away from where we are now.
I don't drive in the dark anywhere anymore.
That's
by
exactly
myself.
Right. Okay, so this one is Riding with the Devil. In 2001, a man named Bob... Of course, his name was Bob, that lived in Houston, heard about Demon's Road. Bob convinced a buddy to go with him to check it out. His friend thought it was a great excuse to go on a road trip, grab a few beers, blow off some steam, get out of the house, said, sure, why not? What's the worst that could happen? Mm-hmm. So they hit the road.
Mm-hmm. Famous last words.
Bob,
Demon Road.
What's the worst that could happen? Demon Road.
This is white people in a horror movie.
That's exactly right. Okay. These are not the final girls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bob arrives to the area, swirls into the road, and parks by the graveyard.
Mm-mm.
He turns and he notices that on the road, his friend has fallen asleep in the passenger seat. Bob thought, like, I'm not going to wake up my friend. He got out of the car and left to explore.
Mm-mm.
He didn't even crack a window for his friend. Honestly, as I read this, I'm like, why is that even part of the story?
Like Bob is a bad friend.
Bob kind of sucks. Okay. So next thing you know, Bob's walking around and he's like looking at the graves. He's reading the epitaphs and he's taking pictures. It's daylight. It's pretty. It's a perfect summer day. But then he sees something moving below the ground on the grave he's standing on.
No.
So, boom. The earth cracks and a hand begins to erupt.
Please reverse. No.
Please reverse.
So this undead arm reaches for Bob's leg. Mm-mm. Bob like swings at him. The hand pivots and grabs his wrist. So Bob is getting dragged onto the ground and starts to scream.
Yes.
In my head now, all I can hear is, Billy!
Thank you. Which, by the way, spoiler alert, Billy's coming back for Hocus Pocus 2.
There's a Hocus Pocus 2?
Yes, we need to finish this conversation another time. Yes, it's coming out next October.
Oh my.
Honestly, by the time this episode airs, it might be October, I'm not sure. Okay, so Bob's friend, who has been asleep in the car, now appears, hears the noise, comes to run and help, and he, like, grabs Bob, yanks him back, and, like, beats this creature coming up from below.
As you do.
As you do. The creature claws up. Bob's buddy shouts, run, I'll hold him off. Mm-mm. Bob doesn't want to leave his friend. They both shove the creature back into the ground. So, anyway, they manage to get away.
So this Bob is in broad daylight, you said.
Broad daylight. Mm-mm. So Bob, like, they like, fight this creature back, and they run, and they, like, go to the car. So Bob reaches the car, and then, like, what the hell? He looks in the car, and there's his friend.
I knew it was going to be some things like this. I just knew when he started.
Slouched against the passenger window, still asleep.
Stop it.
Mm-mm.
So he turns around, and he sees that he's alone. I mean, fill her up. So he's scared. He's scared, and he, like, starts the car, backs out of the cemetery, spins, takes a turn. So as he turns, his friend sways and, like, falls into his lap.
Uh-oh. He's dead. What happened to the other version of the friend?
No!
His friend had died of a heart attack.
Stop it. Come on!
How y'all doing?
I hate this.
Oh my god. Okay.
I don't like that in the slightest.
This feels like we've moved away from urban legend. What? Is there a news article related to this story? Or is this, like...
Well...
Oh, no.
So, here's the deal. In my graduate programs, I'm really good at citing things. In these, I tend to grab whatever I find.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so it could be real. It could be fictional. I
mean, to be fair, we do an urban legend podcast, and half the fun is not knowing if it's real or not. But mm-hmm.
That is half the fun.
But that one's not fun.
I just kind of want to know extra.
I just need to know that this one's not real. Because it's here.
Right.
Would you like to hear about the Peeping Tom?
Yes, I would.
No.
Obviously, I would like to hear about a Peeping Tom.
Just me? No?
Yeah, it's just you.
Is it going to be cathartic? Does somebody get to kick the Peeping Tom and I can work off some of this adrenaline from Bob, the bad friend?
Well, I have no idea. This is going to be new for me as well.
Great.
In 2002. No, sorry. 2010. That's a different year entirely.
That's much sooner. I don't like that in the slightest.
2010. A woman described an encounter that her spouse and her friends had. So, while attending the grave of a dead relative, they saw a really, like, bizarre man walking through the cemetery. So, they left. They left Demon's Road, and a couple days later, the woman climbed into the shower. And as she turned to close the curtain, there in the doorway stood the same man they had seen in the cemetery.
Y'all, that's, like, my biggest fear.
Who then faded into the fog as the woman screamed bloody murder and her husband came running into the room.
I've actually stopped listening.
What is with people appearing in the bathroom? Get out! No!
It's always the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So it seems that the voyeuristic bogey, as it is typed in my notes, so it must be factual, has a nasty habit of following females back home and slipping a look or two behind curtains.
I would try to make that as weird for him as possible.
We've gone from an urban legend podcast to a true crime podcast all of a sudden. I don't know if I'm here for it.
I'm just here to cross all the boundaries. Okay.
Why in the Texas episode, though, Aaron? Why?
Listen, I am no less comfortable than you are.
You did not think to go this hard. This was a choice you made.
We didn't organize this recording session well at all. Okay, this is the last one for Demon's Road. You're welcome.
We're still going.
Things in the Pale Moonlight.
Nope. I'm already out.
OK, Okay, so numerous cases pop up now and then that a strange, faceless, threatening monster lives in the cemetery.
Why did you look so happy about it?
Because I'm so miserable and I'm like,
you're like, look, it's my episode over yet. It's a faceless demon monster. How exciting. Girl, what? No.
In the state where we live. Great.
On a road called Demon Road. How dare you?
Where I used to live.
Oh, Christ on a cracker. All right, a pale white creature with lizard-like skin and a huge malevolent grin full of sharp teeth.
Nope. Stop it. This is like when my neighbor on the next door app thought he was tracking a chupacabra. This man thought he had a chupacabra. He kept putting pictures of paw prints next to bricks. This is exactly what this is. I am not being hoodwinked.
Hold on. Your next door app could be a whole separate podcast of its own.
Do you know, Fiona asked me yesterday what a chupacabra was, and I was like,
girl, they know.
It's a monster.
It is. Apparently.
Just said, don't mess with it.
Okay, so this creature is known to be naked and on all fours, as you do.
Yeah.
The beast appears out of the bushes on either side of the road. A horrible creature that is odious to describe, clearly, and in many cases may drive the person who sees it temporarily mad.
Great, sure.
It is a hostile and malevolent being, an evil spirit, and one that seems to constantly stalk the forest.
Get out of here.
Talia, this next line is for you.
Great.
Some claim it is either a Wendigo or a skinwalker.
Yes!
Shout out Supernatural. And few who have borne witness to its frightful frame retain their faculties and manage to come out of the encounter with a even slight amount of sanity.
Cool.
Folks who go down Demon's Road, as the legend says, will be haunted by a specter or ghost. The cursed land is actually a portal to hell, and its denizens love to hitchhike on the back of a tourist station wagon.
Who is driving a station wagon? It's 2021.
It's a fierce question. I won't be going to Demon's Road myself. Normally,
I won't be going to Huntsville or driving through it.
Do you think this is
on
the Chamber of Commerce website?
No.
Like, come visit Huntsville.
No, but
Demon Road.
It should be.
Girl, no.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
I'm going to have nightmares. This podcast has never given me any kind of fright.
I know. But I picked Texas to totally mess with you.
And you're happy with what you've done.
I'm actually so miserable that I'm smiling through the pain.
I don't believe it.
Please tell us a happy story.
This is not a happy story.
Oh, God.
Sweet. So I actually started to...
Oh, I remember now. I saw your title. Damn it.
Sorry. No, that's all right. That's staying in. I actually started to cover this next one, but then when we, like, were able to work this out, we knew that Taya was going to cover and, like, join us on the next handful of episodes.
Listen.
I happily assigned it to her, knowing that full well she would roll out her conspiracy whiteboard and her red string, and she would get to work.
I'm concerned with
ever wanted to do.
The godlike level of storytelling that Talia always has and the topic that I now know she's about to cover.
I feel like you need to refill me.
Yeah.
And we need to buckle up for this.
You do need to buckle up, because here's the problem. This story, my source for this story, is largely the last podcast on the left, episode 451, Black Eyed Kids.
Talking about Black Eyed Kids,
boys and girls. Last podcast on the left is one of my absolute favorite podcasts. I get almost 100% of my news either from Last Podcast on the Left or Dan Carlin, and Dan Carlin does Serious History, so this is clearly last podcast territory.
I need to know before we start this, Amanda, do you know what the Black Eyed Children are?
You're about to find out.
Have you heard of them before?
I have not.
I think you're not going to like them.
She's
going
to hate it more than most people.
Let's get into it.
Just started almost to cry. Why did I do that? Right. I don't know.
Wet nails or not, you're going to want somebody to hold your hand for this.
You do need somebody to hold your hand.
Sweaty hands.
So, my source is last podcast on the left, episode 451. It's got a red water tongue. Black Eyed Kids is the name of the episode. So the concept, here's my overview statement, the concept of Bex, Black Eyed Kids.
No, don't give them a nickname. That's too cute.
Listen, it's worse to keep saying Black Eyed Kids because it sounds like I'm sort of endorsing child abuse, but it's not that kind of black eye, like,
or like
that.
Or like the Black Eyed Peas, which is like, correct. I expect you to break into song.
Like they're going to do a dance routine, like this is Joey Fatone's like side project after he left NSYNC because he wasn't that talented.
They're so creepy.
So Bex preys on our... the dual kind of innate fear that we have of children, as we should, because little kids doing odd things
super
is creepy
scary.
AF, right? Mm-hmm. But also the innate, like, protective factor that we have towards absolutely. Children, right? So it's like this dual-edged
Tammy, thing. The teacher, is shaking her head, nope. by the way. She is yeah, not she's not
taking it. Do creepy things like knock on the window and say, let me in. Nope.
She's not going to get got. Okay.
She's not going to get got.
So Becks are actually relatively new to the Pantheon. We both used that word. Congratulations, me and Aaron, SAT.
You got it the first time. It took me three rounds.
Pantheon of the paranormal. They're considered actually to be an internet phenomenon, which is kind of a misnomer, but we'll talk about that in a second. Becks are theorized to be part cryptid, part ghost, part alien, part demon, part urban legend, or maybe just an interdimensional force that we don't fully understand. We don't really know, right? God.
Maybe something that needs to get dropkicked, that's what
or
I'm
or a complete correct. Urban legend that's not true.
I mean, and maybe, except...
Amanda's samples are so big right now, yes. she could be a black-eyed child.
Oh, no!
So, hold on. Maybe it could be an urban legend, but they share a few characteristics with the Men in Black. So if you're not up to your Men in Black lore, Last Podcast on the Left also has an episode about that. It's episode 323.
Is that not just Will Smith?
It's not Will Smith. It's a very different thing. So... things like Becks, do we know what the concept of the Uncanny Valley is? Have we talked about that on this
show? I don't think so.
So the Uncanny Valley is a concept from aesthetics. So aesthetics say, like, it's a hypothesized relationship between something's similarity to humans and our affinity for it. So, like, the more similar something is to humans, if there is this, like, weird alien element, we automatically, like, our animal lizard brain picks up on, like, this is not human. This is actually, there's something wrong about this. It's like, it's like when you saw Polar Express, the movie, for the first time, and all those dead-eyed AI people were on there, and you were just like, this is actually not okay with me, right? Like, it's very that. And the valley refers to, like, the immediate plunge that our, like, affinity towards these creatures does. When we see, like, we're like, this is actually not correct. This is right. the button-eyed parents from Coraline. We are not fine with it, right? Like, it's that, like, sense,
that
okay?
That is my favorite explanation of Uncanny Valley I've ever heard.
Okay, I'm sure this is totally legitimate. So Becks activate that within humans because they're, like, humanoid-ish, but they're just off enough to make you go, like, WTF is going on.
It's kind of like that, like, in your gut, like, something's
yeah.
not right.
You're like, this is not okay, right? So here are the general guidelines to recognizing a Beck. They appear as children.
I can't handle you calling them Becks.
I can't say black-eyed children because it sounds like a pop group. They are generally children between the ages of 6 and 16. They have completely black eyes. So, like, eyelid to eyelid, corner, mm-hmm. like, completely black, right? This is also very supernatural because the demons had black eyes. Mm. They are usually extremely pale, but there have been some reports of olive-toned skin, although it is said to look like somebody applied the wrong foundation. Like, it's, like, clearly off. Like, they tried to go darker, but it wasn't right. Like, they used a bronzer that wasn't their undertones kind of a thing. Like,
we've, like, all been there.
We have. Like, we all went through 7th grade. We know what it is.
We had blue eyeshadow and blue mascara. We know.
We did. We did do that.
That's accurate.
Okay, Tammy didn't, but I did.
I did.
Thank you.
So they're usually described as having a mottled white look to their skin, but, like, also a way that you recognize immediately, like, that is not how human flesh should look.
Like, unhealthy.
Yeah. Like, you're like, this is not okay, what's happening? So they also, like Men in Black, engage in these off-putting idiosyncratic behaviors. For example, one report of a black-eyed kid noted that the child, air quotes child, was eating an apple, mm-hmm. and then somebody observed it, and they asked the observer, do you have any ketchup to go on their apple, which is, like, not a thing that anybody would ever do, right?
Yeah. My nephew would.
Is saying it all. Right.
Yeah, my nephew would.
Honestly,
in
I
general.
Feel like the listeners are missing out by this not being videoed in some way.
We've
you can't
said that
see,
a lot lately.
You can't see Amanda's facial expressions. You can't see that I wore my glasses to look smart for this podcast, right? Like,
you can't see Tammy and I holding hands
you
right
can't
now.
See the hand holding.
And nail polish.
And Aaron doing nail polish remover in the corner. Like, this is really something we're missing, honestly.
So there it was is another, a time. It
you're
is
getting
a, time.
A new level of insight here.
It's fair. It's fair. I'm the voice of the people.
I wish I could tell you that this was unique to simply this recording session, but it's
That's
every
what
time.
I'm saying. The listeners deserve to see.
They do. All 7 of them.
In
our
listen,
mothers.
So I feel like I've added many listeners to the fold.
Yeah, our
I
mothers.
Added one today.
Our mothers and Alex Burke.
Yeah,
That's
my husband.
Listening.
That's correct.
Terrence listens too.
He's a big fan. Alex. How's it going?
He's a big fan.
Kevin downloads every episode. He doesn't listen to me. No, he doesn't listen to him. He just downloads
the download is the important part.
That's right.
It is.
Go on.
So in another report, the Black Eyed Children were selling magazines door-to-door, like ostensibly as a fundraiser.
Yeah, no, they're trying to raise money for their clarinets.
Right. But when people bought them, they were like decades out of print. Like, it was like a Reader's Digest from 1973 that they were selling. It was like very, like, these very, like, odd... Sort of like somebody Googled how to be a human and then didn't execute it correctly.
I love everything about this story.
This sounds like an episode of Doctor Who now.
Oh, no, not there yet. They also don't...
It's real!
They don't tend to answer questions. They usually just repeat phrases or sentences in an unbroken, droning monotone.
So my son.
That is typically associated with low-level mind control. Oh. For example, a man saw a Beck... sorry, Tammy. Outside his home... Head downturned. It's very normal behavior for them to, like, not look up until the last minute, because when they look up, you see their eyes and you're like, what the hell is this?
Oh, sure, right. Sure.
Puts you on edge. All I know is don't let them in.
But
that's all I know.
Yes.
Beck comes to the door, is, like, knocking on the door, and then the guy opens the door, the kid, like, looks up and just keeps repeating, I think it's food time. I think it's food time. I think it's food
time. Oh, stop looking at me when you do that.
I burnt your eyes. Like that.
They typically use short, simple sentences like, we just need a ride, it won't take long, you need to let us in. Right? They usually don't have these long, like,
right.
sentences. Mm. They're very short and to the point. And they will do the continuous knocking thing. So, like, the...
Don't do it.
I'm gonna hear like, that in my sleep.
Doesn't end. You are. Correct. There is speculation that perhaps the tone of their voice uses some subsonic frequencies that impacts the human nervous system. Because after an encounter with a Beck, experiencers, because Alex and I have been watching People of Earth on Hulu, which is a very funny show about people in an alien, like they've had alien encounters and they're in a support group, and they say, we prefer the term experiencers. So I put it in my notes.
They prefer apparitions.
To just like shout out, right. It's very that. So experiencers report feeling off, like they have increased anxiety, stomach aches, shaking, headaches, nausea.
So do I now, thank you.
Right. The nausea is sometimes attributable to the fact that Becks apparently smell like rotten eggs, rotten meat, decaying garbage, which we know.
I don't have a lot of feelings about
that
too.
We know from the lore, demons are typically associated with a sulfur smell, yes. Which is like a very rotten egg smell.
100%.
Yeah. They usually wear ill-fitting, baggy, dark gray or dingy white hoodies and jeans, oversized, to kind of hide their dimensions and age. So, like...
Well, I have no patience for a poorly dressed demon.
It's kind
now
of like...
Now I feel attacked because I think you just described my order.
It's a black-eyed Billie Eilish is what it is. I'm not saying she's a Beck, but, like, that kind of clothing choices.
But you're also not saying she's not.
I'm not. But also, this is, like, one of the two most upsetting things to me in the world. One of them. They apparently have the ability to silently cross great distances, like, in the span of a blink.
No, we don't like
they
that!
They can go from... The other thing I don't like is fast-talking, when it's like... Blah, 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 blah. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with fast-talking, and I can't deal with moving fast, far distances. It's not for me.
The talking thing surprises me about you, because I feel like you're quite witty and quite verbal.
No, there is this episode of My Favorite Murder where Karen demonstrates like a fast talking, and it is upsetting, and it is everything that I hate, and she hates it too. So
but that's basically like every single episode of the Gilmore Girls is like talking as fast as you can.
No. It's not that. Different. It's like the creepy like baby doll fast talk or like small children talking in twin language too fast that makes them want to smother
them.
That's
different. That's different.
That kind of thing.
I'll give you that. That's great. Different.
So, here's a small sliver of good news. Becks usually don't shout, and there are no reports of them becoming physically violent ever. They just stand mostly emotionless in this quiet, hypnotic voice that asks and then demands to be let in.
But why is that creepier?
It is creepier.
Yeah, that's not...
They're gonna, like, control your mind or something, right?
No, they're trying to, like, lull... You know how, like, certain... certain televangelists speak in this particular cadence that's designed to, like, just have you fall along and ferry that.
God, I almost just said seven inappropriate things, and I'm so proud of myself for not doing
this
it.
This is growth, honestly.
I am doing so well. Thank you for acknowledging.
You are. Early evening is the most common time for a Beck encounter.
No.
They will come to your house.
They're not coming here. We've got devil chickens outside.
That's
fine.
True. You have the chickens to protect you. They'll knock and they'll ask for something relatively simple, like to use the phone, use the bathroom, or have something to eat. The guys on
who shows up at someone's house and is like, hey, peace, can I have some food?
Right. This is why one of the guys on last podcast on the left says you just need to carry a yardstick with you at all times and be like, get 3 feet away from me, child. You never need to be closer than 3 feet to a child that you don't know.
Fair.
As the guys on last podcast put it, they usually do a Stanley Kubrick reveal, right? So they show up, their heads down, they ask these questions, and at the very last minute, it's like the slow pan up where you see these all black guys, generally after you have already agreed to let them into your home.
I don't appreciate that. It's disrespectful.
So Becks have been seen, in air quotes, for a long time, although the first documented case that we can trace of a Beck encounter happened right here in Texas.
Oh, lovely.
In Abilene in 1996.
That's far away, Amanda. You're fine.
Thank God.
I spent the worst semester of my life at college in Abilene. I hated it. It was just crickets and evangelicals, and it was not for me.
No.
A Beck, honestly, would have been a breath of fresh air.
A welcome change. Yes. Yeah.
Truly. But
I'm not mad about that.
I put in my notes, general warning for 90s content that follows. This is a very 90s story, I feel like. There are a lot of 90s elements. It's going to make us sound like old aunts. Some of the younger listeners,
that's
a.k.a. my children, might think of us as boomers, but it's not. It's just a very 1996 story, okay? So.
I like a 96 story.
Brian Bethel, writer for the Abilene Reporter News, drove to the Camelot Communications office to pay his dial-up internet bill through their night job. Right?
Support.
So he needed to write a check and put it in the night drop to pay his internet bill because that is how we used to do it back in the day.
Okay.
So it was between 9:30 and 10 p.m. The Camelot Communications office is in a shopping kind of strip next to the Westwood Twin Discount Movie Theater. This is important because the Westwood Twin was open. They were advertising Mortal Kombat.
Absolutely.
Right? It's a discount show, so Mortal Kombat had come out. It was now at the Dollar Movies. And so it was very bright. All of their lights were on. All of their, you know, things were lit up. And he was actually using the light to write out his check to drop it off. When two young boys in hoodies knocked on his driver's side window, Brian estimated that they were between 9 and 12 years of age. And he thought they probably just wanted money, right? He sort of didn't think anything about it while his window was rolled up. Then he rolled his window down.
Mm-mm.
And as soon as he rolled his window down, he was flooded with this unnatural fear. Like, he suddenly felt very exposed and like something was very wrong. Okay? The boys explained they had come to the movies to see Mortal Kombat, but they left their money at home. They wanted Brian to invite them in to his car and give them a ride back home to get their money for the movie.
Invite me into the car.
Invite us into your car to give us a ride home.
I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
Brian happened to look up and notice that the last showing of Mortal Kombat for the evening was actually already underway, right? So he pushed the boys on this, like, hey, I can't take you home. Like, the last show has actually already started, you know, all this. But they completely stonewalled him, and they just kept repeating over and over again, it's a short trip, it won't take long, we're just two little kids, we don't have a gun.
They said, we're just two little kids.
Yeah. That anytime somebody tells you, we're just two little kids, or we don't have a gun, is like, right, okay, I think maybe you aren't two little kids and you do have a gun.
And I'm leaving.
Correct. All the red flags. As the conversation went on, Brian finally got a good look at the kids, which is when he noticed their fully black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he described them later as, quote, soulless orbs, like two expanses of starless night.
No, thank you.
Gracious. Is he a poet?
He's a writer.
Oh, right.
A reporter.
Yeah, sure.
Although he was terrified, he did keep his wits about him enough. He apologized, like, so sorry, I can't help you out. I really need to go. And then put his car in gear to GTFO as fast as he possibly could.
Smart man.
And that's when the older-looking boy slammed his window repeatedly while saying, we can't come in unless you tell us it's okay. Let us in. Let us in. Let us in.
Oh, my God.
Let us in. So he sped out of the parking lot, as you do, without paying his dial-up internet bill. So presumably his cable got cut off, poor man. He actually wrote down his experience as like a cathartic activity because it was upsetting.
Yeah, I guess.
And he emailed it to a few friends. His friends were like, this story is too good to just keep to ourselves. So they forward it to everywhere. And suddenly, Brian finds himself at the epicenter of one of the first paranormal phenomenons that was spread entirely online. You know, like, he didn't really intend to start anything. He was just like, guys, this weird thing happened and I just had to write it down. But it is important to note, in subsequent years and to this day, Brian's story has not changed. And he says he still feels a soul-deep fear whenever he drives by the Westwood Twin in Abilene, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh.
So nobody really knows what Becks are, to be clear. There's speculation, perhaps they're part demons. Some people have found vampire parallels because they can't come in unless they're invited in.
Sure.
This whole, like, never before did I make this connection, but because I've been reading All Souls trilogy. Mm-hmm. Every time you've said this, it's made me think of like Matthew when he goes into the Blood Rage and his eyes go all black.
Good point.
So apparently, like, to take this further into supernatural territory, there's some kind of sense that perhaps the Becks, the black-eyed creatures, are like lower order demons because sometimes there are white-eyed creatures.
Oh, really?
Who are in the world of supernatural are like the boss demons. Right.
Like, so, Eve was a white-eyed demon.
Right. So, like, the Becks. So, all people know is if you invite them in, usually you don't make it out. Like, they eat your soul or whatever. There was one funny exception to this, which was a family that I think just confused the Becks because they felt very sorry for them. So, they sort of, like, sent them away with, like, hot cocoa. And the Becks were like, I mean, I have no idea what to do with this. So, they actually left and didn't kill them because the family was, like, so generous. It, like, really confused them. But the best way forward to protect yourself from a Beck is, don't let them in, even though they're going, like, the way that they speak, they're trying to put you into a trance to make you do it right. So you have to trust. Honestly, the theme of this is very My Favorite Murder, like,
don't go into the woods.
F politeness. Mm-hmm. And trust your gut instinct.
Call your dad, you're in a cult.
Correct. And be like, you can stay on my porch. I will call your parents or the police for you. You cannot come into my house.
That's exactly right.
Which honestly is the best rule with anybody else's children, frankly. Don't let them into your home.
No.
You don't know.
It's a liability.
Correct. So.
Also, just like, don't let anyone into your home.
Correct. Yes. Like, honestly.
This is 2021. We don't like anyone. We don't trust anyone.
Mm-mm. I don't let people into my house. My uncle came over once and I knew it was him, but I still didn't let him in because he didn't call first. That's how people get killed. So really what I'm saying is become an agoraphobic like me and never leave your home and don't trust children that you see outside. Don't let them touch your car. If somebody knocked on my window, I can't tell you how not okay I would be.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder, a Redwater production. We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories. We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at SaltOverYourShoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.